Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. So, being an opportunist, I see Matt Pauly in there talking to Andrew, and I'm thinking, I don't have to do a segment. So, I grabbed him, drug his ass in here. Good to see you, my friend.
Good
How
see
are
you?
You?
No, I always like coming in here.
Kevin, tell us about the sad news about the former Cardinal.
Yeah, did you guys see this? So, earlier today, there was a report of an accident that at an event that Octavio Dotel was at. And that he had been pulled from the rubble. Apparently, the roof of a nightclub collapsed.
Have you seen the video of it?
I've not seen the video.
It's crazy.
I saw a couple of the pictures.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Yeah.
And the report earlier in the day was that he was kind of rescued by being pulled out of the rubble. Dotel was, but now the reports are that he died on his way to the hospital. So 51. So he was part of the 2011 team. He was one of the guys they brought in at the trade deadline that year, when they kind of remade the bullpen and they remade the roster a little bit, which is all why they were able to make the run to win the World Series.
Very highly thought of.
Like, great dude.
Yeah.
Funny, you know, like great clubhouse guy. Mm. Yeah.
Like in Cardinals lore, when you talk about those teams and, you know, the unsung heroes of the teams, his name comes up all the time.
And a good pitcher too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, for a period of time, was a closer in the big leagues.
Yeah.
And at that time was more of a setup guy, but a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amy and Chris were interviewing someone a couple days ago, maybe just yesterday. And remember the bit that Amy was doing about David Freese, about whether he was red jacket worthy, because while he had great moments, some of the most memorable moments, maybe he didn't have the overall impact that a Gibson or so. Where do you guys fall on that as far as the Cardinals Hall of Fame? Should it be a miniature version of the Hall of Fame, or should it be like, oh my gosh, this guy hit a grand slam and won the World Series? You're in.
I think it's more for the fans. Like, so that's why I always respected Freeze for when he got elected to say, look, you look at my career and I don't stack up with all these people. But at the same time, I honestly wish he wouldn't have done that, because something like that is so much for the fans. And if the fans are going to induct you into that, then to me, the buck stops right there. You deserve to be in if the fans say you deserve to be in.
And don't you feel like he'd get one of the biggest ovations?
He would 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he absolutely would. And I think they don't have to be the same thing, right? You don't have to be a baseball Hall of Famer to have a major part in a team's franchise history. You know, because there are some that I've seen it on a couple times on Twitter here recently too, where people were like, why do they have guys with red jackets that aren't in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Well, why not?
Right.
It's a Cardinals Hall of Fame. Every team in every sport has their own Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor. And they're not just honoring people that are already honored at the national level. They're all people that had a major impact on the history of the franchise. And, you know, David Freese didn't have a 10 or 12 year run with the Cardinals. He had a good run, but he had arguably one of the, maybe two of the greatest individual moments that the Cardinals franchise has ever had. Two of the most memorable anyway, in the same game. And was a big part of a team winning a World Series. So, yeah, that's a big deal.
He changed the definition of two words, because now if you say the words game six,
yeah,
that's where your mind immediately goes to. And without David Freese, game six means something completely different.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe he'll change his mind.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't have any problem with his choice. He shouldn't. I mean, it's his choice to just basically bow out, because – for whatever his reasons are. I mean, you know, there are a lot of reasons on and off the field that he chose to go that route.
Yeah.
That's fine to respect that. I have no issue with that. I just don't understand why there's an extra level of gatekeeping from certain elements of a fan base when it comes to that. Because, I mean, you know, like, I think one of the greatest examples is Willie McGee. Willie McGee doesn't hold up to the Baseball Hall of Fame standards, but he's clearly one of the great Cardinals players. He's one of the most popular players in history. He was a part of one of the greatest eras in Cardinals history, and he was a great player for the Cardinals. He should be honored that way. Like, that's cool. We don't need to gatekeep and be like, no, it should only be for the real Hall of Famers, because that's silly.
You know, when I was in Milwaukee, I had a vote for the Brewers version of that, And my take on it was always, because you could fill out as many names as you wanted. Like, there was a large ballot, and you weren't restricted to, like, 10 votes or whatever. I never wanted to be the vote that kept somebody out.
Mm.
So I was very liberal with my voting. And if I knew that, like, somebody else I respected was voting for somebody, I was probably going to vote for them as well. Because I think things like that, you should have as many people involved in it as possible. It's a chance to relive great moments. It's a chance to honor somebody who deserves to be honored. Like, I love stuff like that. I wish more guys went into the Baseball Hall of Fame, like the big one in Cooperstown. But no matter what Hall of Fame we're talking about, let's put more people in.
Yeah.
Let's honor people. Let's make things good and fun and happy.
I know, like all things, you had ups and downs in Milwaukee. When you look back, who did you walk away thinking, that was a great guy?
Brian Anderson, the TV voice who does a lot of national stuff.
Yeah.
People see him on Turner. He does NBA. Then he does baseball stuff. I think with Joe Buck not doing national baseball play-by-play, Brian Anderson is the best national baseball play-by-play. He might be just the best national play-by-play guy, period. But certainly, he's easily number one when it comes to baseball right now. And he is as good of a play-by-play guy as he is. He's a better human being. So he's one of my favorite people in the world.
Very nice. Kevin, how about you? Just overall, in sports, who have you walked away thinking, I can't believe what a nice guy this guy is?
Obviously there's just a million answers. I mean, like, that was my first takeaway with guys like Ozzie Smith and Lou Brock, right? Like, how are they so nice? Like, you know, because if you're that famous, it's kind of hard sometimes to be nice all the time, but they pull it off. You know, it's more than you, I guess the way I would put this is there are a lot more of those than you think.
Yeah, well
said. Of the people where you'll walk away and like, man, I like that guy. That's a good guy, because you get overwhelmed sometimes by the few that are kind of pains in the ass. But, like, I mean, literally every person I ever interacted with the Blues pretty much falls into that category. Bobby Plager's was the nicest human being in the world. You know, all of them. I mean, you name somebody that's been over there in the last 18 years since I've been in. They're all great dudes. David Back is a great. Andy Murray was a great guy. John Davidson was a cool guy. You know, I mean, like, Tom Stillman's a great guy. I haven't had a chance to spend much time around Montgomery, but Craig Berube's a great dude. Ken Hitchcock was awesome. Like, literally, there's so many good.
Yeah.
It's impossible to name all of the positive times where you're like, man, what a great guy that guy is.
Matt, I used to go to the Blues Alumni Club a lot about 10 years ago. And when Phoebe was 8 to 10 years old, she and a friend, I took them with me up to the Alumni Club. And I knew Bobby Plager, you know, well enough. And he came over and said hello. And he would reach in Phoebe's popcorn bucket and then throw it on the fans. And so the fans turn around like, hey, MF-er. And they're like, oh, my God, it's Bobby Plager. They're doing all this stuff. So we come home from the game. And Marine's like, I think it was her first game, her first Blues game ever. And she's like, how was the game? Did you love it? And she goes, it was all good, but some old man kept putting his stinky fingers in my popcorn. I'm just like, oh, my God. Remember when we met him?
Oh, yeah.
Got to wear his ring?
Yeah, that charity event. He was so unbelievably
nice.
Oh,
man.
I went up to him, said hello, got a picture. He ended up coming back to me 15 minutes later and saying, no, you need to get another picture with my ring. And I'm just like, who does that?
Yeah.
Like, who remembers? Who wants to make sure you have the best possible photo? He was so sweet.
They should really, somebody should make a biopic about the Plager brothers.
Yeah.
It would be so great. It would be funny. It would be like, my God, that really happened. but it would also be like showing you the really cool, nice side of these guys who, you know, ended up being rock stars in St. Louis, even though they're, you know, not from here. They just fate ended up being, you know, kind of this is how it worked out for them.
So Bobby and I used to do events together, you know, just like, you know, when we go out and we do remotes, and he and I were doing them together for a while. And he used to take such pride in telling me how to get free breakfasts. And he would say, Dave, here's what you do. You go to like a Drury Inn that has a comp breakfast. He said, here's the key. You put a rolled up newspaper under your arm and it just looks like you are staying there. And then you wait for someone to come to the front desk and check out, Mr. You know, Rabinowitz checking out. And then you go in there and you just eat breakfast. And if they ask you, you say you're Mr. Rabinowitz. I'm like, you are Bobby freaking Plager. You never have to pay for another meal your whole life. But he prided himself on like getting free breakfast.
That's
amazing.
Funny.
What a character, right? Can you talk about what Mr. DeWitt talked about today at the meeting?
Yeah, so he we had a little luncheon over at Busch Stadium today. A lot of radio folks were over there. And Bill DeWitt III said that I don't know where it's at in like the governmental process and Jeff City and everything, but something that is being worked on right now is creating an entertainment district in downtown. It would include all the major sports venues, so Busch Stadium, Enterprise Center, Energizer Park, and the Dome, plus Union Station. That would create an entertainment district, and money would be diverted specifically to that district, where basically like a police force just for that district would be creative. There could be some other things that go along with it, but the big thing was public safety. So it almost sounded like there might be like a police unit or department just for that district and nothing else, which look, anybody who walks around in this area, we're in that district where we're at right now. You walk around, if there's not an event going on, you don't know what you're going to see.
Sketchy.
It's not the most inviting thing in the world. So I love that because I think that is the front door to St. Louis. Without a doubt. So you got it. If you don't get anything else right, get that right. And hopefully it happens.
I mean, we've talked forever. How long, Dave? I mean, ever since I've been on the show, but you probably guys have been doing it longer than that. What's your draw if you're a city, if you're the city of St. Louis? What's your draw to bring people in?
Sports.
That's it right now, right? We don't have the music scene of Nashville. You don't have the same things that other places have. But you do have some really strong sports franchises. You've got three in particular right down the row. And, you know, you've got the ability to host big events and things along those lines at the Dome and the Convention Center. And Union Station obviously being right there in the mix of all that makes sense to include it. You have all of this ability. And think about what we try to sell, right? We know the Cardinals exist and the Blues exist and City exists. But the other thing, like this weekend, you get the Frozen Four in St. Louis. You need more of those.
Mm-hmm.
We need more big NCAA events. You need to get people to come here, that's a big sell. Safety, stuff to do, places to eat, something to do. So you see what's happening over by SLU, where you have Top Golf and you have different things where people can go. What's the mini golf place that's right down there?
Putt Shack.
Putt Shack. I mean, things like that. You've got to build this up to be a large chunk of downtown, and now you have a draw.
Amen. I love it. It's the best idea I've heard in St. Louis in a long time.
Right. The problem is people in Jeff City have to get it right.
Yeah.
Hopefully they do.
Maybe they put their money where their mouth is. I love that.
I mean, so goes the city, so goes the state, right? And not just this city, but, you know, this city and Kansas City, basically.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, pal. Quick break. Right back. DGS. Alone. 323 DGS. So someone who watches us on television, what do I say? Do I say television?
You always, I've just noticed this about you, Dave, working with you for 8 years now. You always say television. You never say TV.
Huh.
It's just a quirk. I mean, nothing wrong with it. I like it.
Yeah.
It's just you always say television.
Well, people who watch us on television.
watch us on the TV.
Asking why we always wear headphones when we're clearly close enough to hear each other's natural voice. And I didn't have a good answer other than it makes you sound cool.
Well, for me, it's so I know we're on the air. So if I'm talking into the mic and I don't hear myself, that means the mic isn't on.
That's a good one.
You know, it's just nice. And it's also just nice to moderate, you know, your vocal levels and like, hey, this is how I sound going out over the air right now. So.
Gotcha.
You also hear things like the music being played in and out of breaks and things along those lines.
Correct.
It is weird being on television. Rach was saying that she's been yawning without covering her mouth. And I shared with her that earlier today I caught myself picking my nose.
Well,
you know,
right there on camera.
Everyone does it.
Mm. Yeah, you were saying like, why do we give each other such crap for doing things that...
I mean, like literally...
Like wiping your butt on the towel. Who doesn't do that?
that's just you, Dave.
Well,
damn it.
Yeah, it's like so many things too. Right? I mean, yeah, okay, the picking the nose, burping. Like, hey, y'all, everybody, every single human being does these things. And then you catch someone doing it, like, ha ha ha, I got you.
Yeah, gotcha.
I did it 2 minutes ago.
Got you doing the most natural thing.
Like, what are we, why are we so weird?
You know, we were talking about yesterday that AI, whether you believe it or not, says that it has figured out that fingerprints are not unique. And it makes you wonder, what else do we have wrong?
Mm-hmm. A lot. Everything. I mean, it's just got to be everything.
A lot.
We're so cocky.
Yeah. We're fully confident we've got it all figured out, and there's just simply no way.
I'm looking at my fingerprints right now. Don't often do this.
So am I. Wow. Here, look.
They are weird, aren't they?
They are.
I don't know.
Look closely, but there they are.
Why do we have them?
I guess to grip stuff better, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
So that the cops can catch us.
Yep.
It's just a way to keep us honest. Because we're such deceptive, devious little things.
I was watching an interview with George Harrison earlier today on TikTok, and it's so great. Like, the Beatles are so revered, right? For good reason. But George was talking about what bad songs Paul McCartney wrote sometimes.
Oh.
And he was talking about Maxwell Silver Hammer. And he said, what a fruity song. He said he was writing songs for 14-year-olds. He said, we ended up making it into an okay song. We did good work. But he said, I hated that song from the minute he wrote it. Isn't that refreshing?
I love stuff like that. Because even they are like, this isn't great.
Yeah, right.
Not that you said it was George saying
George.
This, not that he would have any sort of chip on his shoulder about songwriting. Or
No.
I have a hot take for you. As a lifelong giant Beatles fan, I'm beginning to think that Paul is in third place. Now, Ringo, I've said many times, the Beatles would not be the Beatles without Ringo. Without his energy, his humor, his unique look, I don't think the Beatles make it without Ringo. Everyone was entranced by him. But I think when it comes to songwriting ability and talent and such, I think Paul might be behind John and George. Tell me I'm wrong.
I trust your expert opinion.
Paul's always been my favorite, but...
Because he's cute.
Not necessarily.
He didn't even notice.
Like,
he's
the
cute one.
He's the cute one.
My dad thought he was a woman.
Really?
To his dying day.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have a preference with the three of them.
Find that hard to believe? Welcome back.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX, happy Tuesday. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
It's a lovely day out there, I think.
It's chilly.
Yeah.
For where we've been anyway, not necessarily chilly for early April, but it's chilly. We got down, the city got down to about 33 last night. Mm-hmm. Most folks got down to 29, 30 degrees.
I have some beautiful flowering trees in my yard. Is that going to kill them?
No. No, we need to get down to about 27, 28 to really affect those blooms. So peaches, the Bradford pears, stuff like that, they're all going to be fine.
Nice. And we warm up later in the week?
Yeah, we really start to warm up tomorrow. 68 for the high, southerly flow returns. Could be a couple of limited rain showers around, maybe a thunder shower. Limited's the key word. It'd be a little windy from the south. Then Thursday, a stronger cold front comes in. It's not a powerful front, but it comes in. Mixed clouds and sunshine, scattered showers and thunder showers. Nothing severe. A little uptick in moisture Thursday, though. 67. Sunny, slightly cooler on Friday. 59. We warm up again for the weekend with temperatures in the 60s. And we could be close to 80 degrees come Monday afternoon of next week. And then we'll cool back a little bit. Full moon coming up on Saturday. It is known as the pink moon.
Hmm. Is there a reason for that, or did they ran out of stuff?
They ran out of stuff. No, the phlox are in bloom, and they typically are pink.
You guys doing a lot of gardening these days? Have you started yet? Or is it year-round out there?
Oh, it's year-round. It's year-round.
Mm. Yeah. Bragger.
But there are four distinct seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't grow warm weather stuff in the wintertime. But I've got snap peas going and lettuce and onions and stuff like that. Citrus looking good, except for one tree. I'm a little disappointed about one tree, but I think I'm going to get it replaced.
I feel bad for that tree. Every time Dave walks out in the yard, it's like, ah, God.
You're exactly right.
He's disappointed in me.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I was talking yesterday, Dave, about one of the grandmas in my neighborhood was snapping beans. Does that mean anything to you? Wheels had never heard of that.
Does it mean more than what it actually means, is snapping beans? There must be another phrase to it.
Green beans?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah. You'd heard of it, Rach?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Wheels would make me feel crazy.
I mean, I'm a city boy, you know.
You didn't snap beans on 5 Mile?
More like a suburb.
Something different?
More like a suburb boy, less than a city boy.
How close to the city were you?
I'm probably 20 minutes from downtown, 25 minutes from downtown.
That's not a city boy.
No, I know. That's why I changed it to suburb boy.
20 minutes outside of St. Louis, and you're in farmland.
Did you live in the Kirkwood of Detroit?
Let's see. So initially, no. But probably it was newer than that, right? Kirkwood's older, right? Yeah. Like it's more new. It would be more like when I was in high school, more like Chesterfield-ish.
What did you think of St. Louis when you first got here?
That it was a lot like where I grew up. Yeah. I mean,
What town?
I grew up in a place called Livonia, which is one of the biggest cities in Detroit, but it's just all houses and people living there. It's not like a city.
Yeah.
But that's why I say Chesterfield, because it's big like that. Covers a lot of area. There's a lot of people that live there. Similar, like, variations in, like, types of houses that you'll find. Some really big fancies and then some normies. But
you
like
have a statue for yourself?
For me? They don't care about me.
That's a lot of bronze.
They don't care about me.
An expensive statue.
But I'll say, I mean, I lived there for a long... I've actually lived here now as long as I lived in Detroit full time.
That's got to be kind of weird.
So yeah, it's a little weird. And then obviously I spent 13-14 years in the Chicago area. Every one of these cities is exactly the same when you're in the suburbs.
You're right.
Suburbs are suburbs, man. Now the only place I've lived that was different was Miami. Miami's just different and weird and scattered, and every area is like a little, there's a rich spot here next to a little, like a beach spot next to a normie spot. Like it's like scattered all over the place.
So when Detroit has come back a long way.
The city has, downtown has.
When it was bad, was it worse than St. Louis is now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can measure crime stuff, probably going to end up being similar, but like, no, I mean, it was much more prominent in terms of just how much was empty and vacant and run down and things along those lines. It was worse.
How did they kind of come back?
Well, state took over for a lot of it. They got some better leadership in downtown. Like I'm not to brag, but the mayor of Detroit went to my high school, older than me. I would never have known him, but like, he's a smart, pretty smart guy. I don't remember if he's Republican or Democrat. I don't even care. But he's a pretty smart guy. He knows how to kind of like fix problems and address issues and like build things towards growth as opposed to just fixing potholes. Right. Mm-hmm. Like you do that. You have to do that. But he understood some things that it took to kind of build back. And look, it doesn't hurt that they ended up getting money, state money, to build really three kind of state-of-the-art stadiums really right next to each other downtown. And there are a couple of casinos there. The Fox Theater is there. So they had some good stuff to work with there. But it doesn't hurt to have four major league teams all playing in that one spot, right? Because you got an NFL team, a baseball team, a basketball team, and a hockey team.
That's
and you
where
got
we've
all
made,
four
I think
of
we've
them
made
there.
A mistake. In St. Louis, we've made a mistake with that.
Dave, Matt Pauly was at the broadcaster's lunch at the Cardinals today, and Mr. DeWitt said that they have a plan that's going through the legislature as we speak to basically make like an open-air mall from Union Station past the Enterprise Center, past Bush, over to America Center. Is that what we're calling it now? I forget.
Yeah, the dome.
But
the
all dome. Four of the venues, making it seamless and using a portion of the revenues to hire like a private police force.
Or I think maybe just to direct towards the police department for its own little...
Yeah.
I don't know, what do they call it? Like
that'd
headquarters?
That'd be good.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean... You know, I love that idea. Like, you know, I'm all about sports guy stuff. But you're definitely going to have to work harder to find more events, right? I mean, and the St. Louis Sports Commission does an amazing job, right? Bringing in things like the Frozen Four this weekend or the NCAA Gymnastics Championships when they come. Like, they do that all the time, and that stuff's coming and going, and they do a great job of that. But you probably want to have as much of that as you can, and if you don't have the infrastructure that you're talking about there, you're losing competitions to Kansas City, Indianapolis, other Midwestern cities that have better structures in place for that stuff. So you want to continue to compete to get these really cool events that can supplement having the Cardinals, the Blues, City, and all of that. And then the Battlehawks during their season. It helps to do that. Plus, think about it. You can also, how much does that build into your ability to pull off really cool, you know, things like that for concerts?
Yeah.
You know, you have concerts at Bush, you have concerts at Enterprise, you have concerts at the Dome. So it's more than just sports. That's why they're calling it sports entertainment.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Yep. Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. The modern workplace is facing a productivity crisis as workers are losing interest in their current roles. In fact, according to a new survey, 79% of employees feel disengaged at work.
I wonder how that compares to past times.
Yeah,
that would have been me until this job. I mean, every job I had, including being a lawyer, put me in the disengaged category.
But you didn't have jobs that you were passionate about until this one.
No.
Right.
No.
And I think that's really what it comes down to is that. And then
I was passionate about faking them.
And I saw a video, maybe last week, and it was a woman probably in her 50s, and she's a C-suite executive, and she was complaining about how they don't have the same kind of like engagement from employees, kind of like this, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have people that are willing to solve problems themselves and do things without being told specifically to do a thing. And a lot of the responses were, well, yeah, because there's no reward for doing it. You know, I mean, like, and a guy that replied, I thought made a good point. He goes, I've done both things in my career at the same job. He said something like he's been in his job for 10 years. He said, there have been periods where I don't try at all and nothing changes. And there are periods where I go all out and I'm over the top and nothing changes. So, you know, as with most things, incentives matter. Do I have a chance to move up? Am I going to get a raise? Can I get bonuses? Can I, like, you incentivize the behavior that you want, right? And if you don't incentivize it, then why is someone going to give it to you? Just to get a bare minimum salary with bare minimum benefits? Better be a damn fun job. Otherwise, good luck.
So the Trump administration is considering a military parade in Washington, D.C. on June 14th, which also happens to be President Trump's 79th birthday.
Wow, what a happenstance.
Well, yeah, it would be basically like for his birthday, according to this story.
Oh, for God's sake.
The Army is discussing adding a parade to its 250th birthday festival, but no final decisions have been made on either parade.
That's fine.
Yeah, they said it's going to cost $100 million.
For which one?
For the Trump birthday party.
Can we just not do military birthday parties for our presidents? Like, I don't care who it is.
I'm down.
I mean, that, like, come on. That's.
Yeah, that's, it's maybe for his 80th, but the 79th.
Yeah, the 79th is not.
Look, man,
we got to top it for the 80th, and
if you're
going to
do it for the 250th birthday of the United States Army, God love you. That's fine. But we should be celebrating institutions and things like that and not an individual person's birthday with super costly, expensive things.
Speaking of President Trump, a new poll shows who would win between President Trump and President Barack Obama. You know, if we open up the floodgates you can run for three terms, Obama's included with that, too, if you would want to do it. A recent poll showed that in a hypothetical matchup, 53% of voters would choose Obama over Trump.
Oh, my God.
He says he'd like to take him on.
God, just.
Oh, boy.
Can we just stop?
Next season on The Real Housewives.
I would be very surprised if Obama had any interest in running again, because he pretty much, like, the second he was out of
he's
there.
He's doing okay.
Come on, you know what, though?
He was I've got nothing to do with this anymore.
That's fine when you know you're done. If you open that race, that'll be the first thing on his mind every day, because you can't. People are not going to walk away from that. Who has? You think you're going to be the favorite to win and you're going to walk away from it? No way. I don't buy it. I believe he'd run in a heartbeat. Because the draw to that power is too much for almost everybody.
Kevin's very opinionated today.
I'm a little irritated. I'm not going to lie. Like, this stuff.
Obama.
I think it's that fried chicken fried rice I bought
that
you for lunch.
That was so good, though.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Bye-bye. With the conflict, there was me.
Welcome back, DGS. Well, I got to say something. Mark Reardon finally did something right.
Made cookies.
Damn. I gave you one of those. That's a Mark Reardon cookie.
What? Why?
It's his new hobby.
It's his new hobby. It's his new passion.
He caught me in the hall like a week and a half ago, and he's like, Do you have those cookies? I'm like, I had one. He goes, I make those now. That's my new hobby. I'm like, great. Keep making them. Let's go.
That was like top five chocolate chip cookies I've had.
They're very good. Wow. He makes the double chocolate ones, too, that are also very solid.
Yeah. I wouldn't have eaten it if I had known that. No, that's weird. I mean, you know, I mean, I think a lot of KMOX listeners know Mark. That's a strange hobby for him to pick up, but good for him.
It's a great hobby. I'm happy for him.
I'm not trying to judge.
Why are we talking like this?
I'm not trying to judge a man's hobby.
I get where Andrew's coming from. It does seem a little out of left field. Like, yeah, he makes cookies now.
Yeah, you wouldn't strike him as like a baker. That wouldn't be like the first thing.
Like grilling or something.
Yeah, there you go.
He's not a grilling guy.
Are you saying he's not manly enough for Mark Reardon?
No. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. He's awfully high strung for a relaxing hobby like
that. That's why he's doing it.
That's why he needs it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. That's awesome. Yeah.
He's a young child, too. You know, young kids like cookies.
That's why I crochet. I wish I could crochet.
Dave just calming himself down.
Yeah. I have a crochet kit if you want to try it. Yeah. My wife hated it.
My mom was a big crocheter, and I don't know.
I have tried to crochet about 500,000 times, and I just can't go beyond the chain. I can crochet a chain, and then you add to the next one. It's like, I get lost in the yarn.
Yeah, my mom was great. She was great at crocheting and very good at making quilts. Mm. Seamstress. She made me a lot of goofy clothes.
Sewing is, to me, is much easier than the crochet. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, you did make Turd Baby.
I did make Turd Baby. Mm-hmm.
Where is he living these
days? You
know,
out of context, that sounds kind of weird.
Let's just leave it.
All right, that's fine.
Just trying not to get myself in trouble. Every thought
Wheels?
Is like,
little
nope.
Rage made a turn, baby.
Every thought is like, nope.
I don't know how
I should have never told that story on this show.
It was a giant mistake.
That was a giant mistake, and as I was doing it, I was like, oh, no going back from this one.
Can I tell Wheels what your dad did?
Sure.
So she made Turd Baby.
Right.
Which was supposed to be a gingerbread man.
Right,
he's made
right.
out of brown fabric.
I saw the Is that a picture?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the picture. Yeah. He looks like a gingerbread man.
No. Yeah, kind of.
No. No, he looks
he
like
also he looks like a turd.
He looks like he should have corn on him. And so her dad
Thanks, Dave.
Took it and started laughing, and he put it back by his butt and dropped it and went.
Yep.
Now that's a dad.
Yeah.
Way to support your child's creative interest.
Did you laugh?
Oh, I was dying laughing. Yeah. It was very funny. But yeah. It was also like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Wish I had a second shot at that.
So
now,
well, you could make a new one.
I guess I could. I've thought about making them like for Operation Food Search or something and selling them during the holidays.
Please.
But who wants one of those?
A gingerbread man?
That has to be our premium item.
What if it's perfect? What if you nail it? It's just like, man, that's awesome.
We can find someone to mass produce those.
All right.
Yeah, put a little Santa hat on it.
Oh, he could be on the sticker this year.
There you go.
It's appetizing.
I love it.
Along with Hardee's.
Like Mr.
So,
Hanky.
Decades later, Turd Baby is iconic.
Yeah.
What in the weeks afterwards? Did you stick him in a drawer?
I feel like my mom just immediately took him and kept him because it was like a fun family memory. I didn't like, he wasn't in the like toy rotation or anything. No. He's been pretty well preserved.
Have the girls met? TB.
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, come on. That has to happen.
They're very sweet little girls. They'd probably be like, oh, I like it here.
You might have given them a couple more years.
Yeah. Wait till they're about 12.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast, chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.